Hey everybody, welcome to our new video series, Juggernaut X. This is going to be the story of the last 10 years of Juggernaut Train Systems, which is kind of like my life story for the last 10 years. So make sure you click that little thumbs up down there, like the video, share the video, subscribe to the channel. Thanks for watching. So finished 2015, making that big PR total at Pro Ross 7, but suffering a bit of a hamstring injury, a hamstring hurt, and feeling like I'd left a lot on the table or a lot on the platform as a lifter there. I made two squats, but had as close of an attempt as possible with 450 kilos, 992 pounds, where I did all the hard part of it. I stood up about 7/8 of the way, and right before the top sort of lost my balance and took a step back. So I had the hamstring stuff that happened in the deadlift, a little bit of shoulder stuff that happened in the squat that kind of messed up my bench, but I made that 23-25 total on a 5-for-8 day. You know, knowing like if I just kept my balance on the squat and I'd had really good bench training that I didn't get to realize on the platform because of the shoulder getting tweaked some in the squat, I was like, man, you know, I'm two or three lifts away from, you know, 2400 total. So in that thinking, I wanted to turn right around and do another meet as quick as I could. So LA Fit Expo, you know, local meet to me. In January, so I think it was in November that I'd done the Pro Raw 7. So I'm like, all right, I'm just gonna, you know, get 7 or 8 weeks of hard training together and do this meet in January. I have all the strength built up. I just gotta kind of maintain it. And you know, this is one of the great kind of regrets or mistakes of my own powerlifting career was I went through this similar, you know, cycle pattern a couple times that I had a very good but almost great performance and then tried to turn around to another meet again quick, and maybe the first 2 or 3 weeks of training for that felt good and strong, but when you are lifting that heavy of weights, you know, mid 900s in the squat, over 800 pounds in the deadlift, even if you're not hurt or injured coming out of a meet, you're not healthy either. And that's really what the problem I ran into there. So even though, you know, I had a good first 2 or 3 weeks of training, trying to make this quick turnaround at LA Fit Expo, stuff was off. You know, the hamstring injury on one side's making my hips shift and all that sort of stuff. And it's 2 or 3 good weeks, and then it started to break down and into 2 or 3, you know, shitty weeks. And I was like, all right, this is not going to happen. I'm not going to do that meet. And I was just frustrated. You know, feeling like, oh, it was so close and I just couldn't quite make it happen. And for me, I ended up sort of just getting disillusioned with training and with powerlifting. And it's like, I get to that point, I'm like, oh, fuck it. I don't want to lift anymore. I don't want to compete. So I went through, you know, doing the meet and then let's say 3 weeks of good training right after, and then 3 weeks of injured crappy training. And then 3 weeks of like, I hate lifting. I never want to do this again. And then, all right, okay, let's get back into doing some training. But at that point for me, it was not, you know, powerlifting training that was fun for me to do. So I was doing, you know, hill sprints and box jumps and weightlifting and, you know, strongman and all these different things to kind of refresh myself. Refresh my mind, my body to kind of regain this passion for things. And at the same time, I was having the opportunity to really grow and build my resume as a coach. So there in early 2016 at that LA Fit Expo meet, though I didn't compete, I did coach a lot of excellent athletes there. Brandon Allen made his first 2300-pound total, got to coach him there. You know, Andy Huang made a huge total. Steve Gentile, T. Papula, a lot of the lifters I was working with were doing excellent things at the Arnold there in early March. Marissa set the IPF world record in the deadlift. So even though I was having my own frustrations as a lifter, a lot of good stuff was happening for me and the athletes that I coached. So that was an exciting time.
So I started working with Chad actually in 2014. He started coaching me right after I did a 2014 Worlds, which was in South Africa. And just from what I learned, I was doing everything wrong as far as the peaking block, and my numbers increased substantially that year. So in 2016, I had won nationals already, decided to do the Arnold, and that Arnold was in March of that year. And going into that meet, had a great training block, as usual with Chad. And we actually were doing a booth that year. So get to the Arnold, setting everything up the day before. I had to compete the next day, worked the booth the whole entire day, which was probably not the best strategy going into that meet. So going into that meet, I was feeling a little bit fatigued, had a bad squat and a terrible bench just because of being so tired and not taking enough rest. And going into the deadlift, I remember specifically, you know, telling Chad, like, just put the world record on the deadlift. This is what we came here for. Meat was already kind of bad, so let's just go for it. And I pulled the world record at 385 pounds at that meet. And I set the standard. That was actually the for the IPF. Unfortunately, a week later, it got broke by Joy. But nevertheless, we were the first to set that standard at that meet. So that start of the 2016 for that year was definitely a good start for meets for me and working with Chad. And then we also decided that year to do a bunch of USAPL meets at the gym that year. So I don't know if that was a fortunate or unfortunate thing. Definitely learned a lot from that. Learned that we don't want to do that. It was a lot of work, but it was also just a really good experience and a good use of the Juggernaut gym at the time.
I had already committed from the last Australia trip to going back to do Pro Raw 8, which is at the Arnold Australia, just a couple weeks after the American Arnold. But with all the, you know, box jumps and snatches and cleans and farmers carries and rowing and not powerlifting I had been doing, I wasn't quite ready to do a powerlifting meet. So I was committed to do a couple seminars there and arrived thinking that I was not going to compete in powerlifting. I didn't bring my belt. I didn't bring a singlet. I didn't bring anything. I told them I wasn't going to do the meet. I was just going to do the seminars. But once I got there, you know, some guilt tripping, some kind of getting caught up in the moment, I did decide to compete, and I did the meet with no knee sleeves, so bare knees, no belt, no wrist wraps, you know, as always, walked out the squats and then self-handoff bench press. So it was about as raw as possible. It was like a sushi style, you know, powerlifting meet, totally raw. And had a fun time doing that. Actually deadlifted 804. Which was a big PR with no belt, and considering in the previous, that was middle of March, I probably hadn't deadlifted over, I think 300 kilos for a triple was the heaviest I'd done in the previous 10 or 12 weeks. As the meet was going, I just realized, okay, well, you can get third place, beat my buddy Gwayne Johnston if I make this 804 365 kilo deadlift. So I just sort of put it on there and, you know, close my eyes and hope that it would come up. And it did pretty well. So I was a little bit lighter at that meet. It was just like a fun sort of change of pace to be at a meet and it not be this stressful experience. And it did, you know, for me, reignite my passion for powerlifting there and get some momentum going for the rest of the year. So back, you know, back at home, back at the gym, we're doing a lot of different stuff. Max is now in Southern California with me, and we're making this push to expand Juggernaut's presence in weightlifting. While the previous years we had, you know, athletes we referred to as Team Juggernaut, it was really just a sponsorship and helping them, you know, financially get to meets and for their hotels and giving them clothes and all that stuff. But now with Max, we could have a real team, so we created, you know, a official USAW club. And also around this time, we found out that the Olympic Training Center was going to be shutting down. So there was going to be a lot of, you know, homeless athletes who needed a place to train. So that gave us the opportunity to grow or to, you know, kind of make this move to get some of those athletes who are at the OTC now moving to Southern California to train full time with Max. Anthony Pomponio was the first one to make that commitment. He's from Southern California already. So it was great to have Pomp out here, and he made great progress with Max. And we had a really fun training camp with a ton of athletes from around the country. And that was just a good time.
So through 2016, we had, you know, a bunch of top lifters there at the gym. And the big thing that kind of came out of that was really developing the weightlifting team in Juggernaut. You know, for me, it was a learning experience to take on lifters at a high caliber and, you know, find the right things to do, the right kind of training, really push my own coaching limits to kind of get the most out of these people. And as time went on, we kind of built up this really, really solid team. In 2016, we took on Alyssa Ritchie, Kiana Welch, both went on to break, you know, American records. And so we, you know, as a club, we grew a lot. You know, we picked up great lifters, but we grew a lot in the sense that there was a lot of mistakes made and a lot of learning that took place, you know, from a coaching standpoint, from a programming standpoint, that I think had that not happened, we would never have gotten much further than that. It was kind of a, you know, it had to be something that grew organically. And I think Chad obviously let that happen, you know, gave me the reins to the club. But, you know, it was something that really was a special time for me, and I think for a lot of weightlifting, where, you know, good people were coming on, but they were getting, every person that came on, you know, was getting a better version of what we had. It was getting better coaching, better programming, and eventually, you know, it grew into the 2016 AO finals, where we had, you know, a fantastic meet with a ton of champions.
2016 American Open was sort of the, you know, the coming out party for Team Juggernaut in the weightlifting sense down there in Orlando, where we had several champions, American record. Kiana Welch had her just second weightlifting meet. She had, you know, first competed only a last chance qualifier, and then goes and wins American Open there. That was one of Alyssa Ritchie's first meets as a full-time weightlifter. So that was just an exciting new endeavor for us. Another new endeavor going in 2016 was trying to get into the supplement business. And, you know, this one, so we created a company, and it took a while to, you know, get through all the formulations and doing that stuff. But a company called Grind Supplements, which was co-owned by myself, the guys from RP, a couple of my friends out here. And going into it, I was like, you know, the supplement industry is so full of bullshit and shitty products and a lack of science. I was like, we can make these really good, sound products with, like, you know, the stuff that actually works in them, and, you know, people will appreciate that, and they'll want these supplements that don't have all this extra bullshit in it. And while we did do that and had some success, I also found out that the supplement industry is an entirely separate industry. It's its own huge business, where going into it, I'd kind of thought, like, well, we sell books and we sell apparel and we sell coaching. This will just be like another item in the store, and it'll just work kind of the same way. And really overlooked, you know, the inventory, supply chain management stuff, and that it was just something that had to be marketed differently than our books and coaching services were. And the idealistic, you know, concept I had of, like, well, we're gonna sell these no bullshit products, it didn't work, because the supplement industry is an industry full of bullshit, and the people who, you know, are largely buying supplements, the biggest consumer base, are not people who are really concerned with, you know, a big body of scientific evidence of, hey, guess what? Like, there's only a couple supplements that are actually worthwhile, like whey protein, casein protein, carb powders, creatine and caffeine. Like, you know, with working with the guys at RP to, like, have them put their stamp of approval on these formulas. Well, that's the stuff that they say works. And they're the experts there. But those just don't make sexy products. And the people who understand that those are the only products that are really worth buying, well, they can kind of formulate these these products themselves, buying, you know, their own, you know, bulk powders from these sort of wholesale type of companies, they didn't necessarily need them all put together. So that was a endeavor, you know, a chance that we took, and you know, I don't regret it. It was a learning experience, like everything, you know, in the past 10 years as a businessman has been. Definitely cost me some money and you know some frustration, but you know it was something we took a chance on and you know is what it is at this point. I still have a bunch of shaker cups to show for it, but that's about it for our short-lived career in supplement sales. And then closing out 2016 for me as a competitor was the first Big Dogs meet, and I had the best training of my life going up to this meet. Huge PRs, 400 kilos for a double in sleeves. I think I know I could have done it for three, if not four reps, but it was just sort of sticking to the plan and was just getting really, really strong, particularly in the squat, as well as benching a training PR, 260 kilos, 573. To put that into perspective, when I benched my meet PR of 257.5 kilos, 567, I only benched 520 in training, and then took that 520 training bench, or a 525 in training, so that 525 training bench turned into 567 at a meet. So I benched 573 in training. I figure, man, I'm ready to bench, you know, 595, 600. Do that 573, I'm gonna do one overloading set, put the slingshot on, 270 kilos, 595 pounds, start bringing the bar down. Ah, peck. Not torn, tweaked pretty significantly. Last bench session, 2 weeks, you know, 2 weeks out, 2.5 weeks out. A couple days later, we go to Atlanta for USAPL Nationals, where Marissa won her second of what is now five consecutive national championships. And, you know, we're out there in Atlanta. I'm going to have my last heavy squat session. And so I'm at a gym there, Citadel Strength, really cool facility. And that day I'm supposed to, I think, go up to 948, something like that, 948 in reps. So I'm working my way up. Can tell it's not perfect, whether it's travel, whether it's accumulated fatigue from, you know, being at the very end of a peak, whatever it is. I missed the 948 and I was like, I knew in my mind, shut it down. All right, things are a little bit off with the travel or whatever. I missed heavy squats in training before and gone on to squat way heavier at meets, so I was not rattled by that. But I let my ego get the best of me, and that we were at the this gym was basically like the training facility for everyone to get their sort of last workouts in before nationals. So the gym is full of all these USAPL competitors, and people are asking for pictures and taking videos and stuff. And you know, I let myself get caught up in that and think, nah, like, right, you just look shitty, you missed this squat, like, you gotta make something big. So I go to do my drop set in sleeves, which I think would have been 9, I can't remember the specific number, but it was heavy. And I'm on the way down, feeling strong, explode out of the hole first 2 or 3 inches, and just feel in my right quad pop, 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 pop. And kind of tore in the muscle belly of the quad. So, you know, fortunately nothing with the tendon, but, you know, spotters saved me. Thankful for them. And at that point, you know, I'm just like, oh my God, I gave away the best training cycle of my life because my ego wanted to impress people I don't know at some gym on the other side of the country. So we go coach Marissa that night in the primetime session. She wins. It's awesome. Yeah, I'm hobbling around trying to ice my leg the rest of the weekend. And 10, 11 days later, we fly to Australia for the Big Dogs meet. And, you know, my Dr. Quinn and Dr. Joe had been very helpful in, you know, getting my leg healthier and healthier. And I went in feeling pretty good, as good as I could have, I think. But when you're going to put close to 1,000 pounds on your back, there can't be any hesitation, there can't be any doubt. And I had good warm-ups, took my opener, 425 kilos, 925, I think. Felt pretty good. And then I jumped up for 445 kilos, 981 for what would have been a PR on the second. Mind you, when I squatted 970, my best training squat was 915. For this meet, I think I'd squatted 937 in training, and much better than the 915 was the previous year. I'd done these huge squats in sleeves, over 900 pounds in sleeves. I think 915, 926, somewhere in there in sleeves, 400 kilos, 882 for a double. I was like, I'm ready to squat well into the thousands if everything was healthy. And despite everything not being healthy, I still wanted to do that anyways. I think being a good competitor, there's stubbornness that comes along with that, and that can be helpful sometimes, and it can be not helpful sometimes. So I tried to stick with my original plan, 981 on the second. And I come down, and I remember going on the way down, just thinking, when's it gonna hurt? When's it gonna hurt? When's it gonna hurt? And that's not a thought that you can have in your head with 981 pounds on your back. So miss it, come back on the third, give it a good attempt, but it just wasn't quite there. And at that point, it just took me out of my mind, totally out of the competition, because, where I knew I should have been vying for second place behind Milanichev, who set the all-time world record total at that meet. Eric Lillibridge had bombed out in the squat. So I knew, all right, second place is mine for the taking. And then I missed that squat, and it just, it took me out mentally, which it's something I talk to, the lifters I coach about, that it's gotta be one lift at a time. And when the squat is done, we can't do anything to go back and change that. All you can do is move forward, and make the first bench as good as you can. And that was a situation of where it's easier for me to give advice than to take my own advice. So, for as frustrating as a day as it was, I still totaled, I believe, 1,040 kilos on 4 for 8 lifting. So 2,281 on 4 for 8. So if that's about the in my, as I look back at my powerlifting career, that is probably my worst meet relative to what my expectations were. So if 2280 is your worst day, well, I guess that's not too bad, but it's all about perspective. And that was a very frustrating day for me. But 2016, much like 2015, much like all of these years really, it's got ups, it's got downs. It had some great training moments, some great moments as a coach. A lot of growth for us, especially in the weightlifting community. Our lifters doing a lot of great things there. We're beginning the podcast and all that stuff. But it was, for me as a competitor, was a very frustrating way to end the year.